Jimbo Paris, and you are listening to the Jimbo Paris Show. Welcome, I'm Jimbo Paris. Welcome to the Jimbo Paris Show. And today we have Tony Bradshaw. And basically, he is the author of The Millionaire Choice. And it's an amazing book. And let's see what he has to say.
Hey, Jim, how are you doing today?
Great, great. I love your setup. Looks good.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, this is my trading station behind me. And then I used to have a library, but we're looking at moving to another house. So I've got my books all packed up right now.
Excellent, excellent. So again, this show's about you. Let's get into the specifics here. So what is it that you do?
Yeah, I do a couple of different things. One of the things I'm trying to do is do what I call develop a citywide financial transformation system. The foundation of that really is, the millionaire choice, which is what I did when I was 25. I made a millionaire choice and created a millionaire plan. I believe anybody can become a millionaire. I interviewed enough people from broke backgrounds, people with sixth grade educations that became multimillionaires, people that were homeless at age 19, millionaires by age 30. And so I really do believe anybody can become a millionaire in the United States, that is. Other countries, they face different hardships, but definitely in the United States. And so what my book teaches is that what I call the 10 keys of the millionaire, foundational elements that I used in my journey to become a millionaire. And a lot of guys teach, finance. A lot of the things are very similar. There's a lot of overlap. I think what makes me a little different is that I believe once you learn those things, you can predict when you're going to become a millionaire plus or minus 1 year. And so for me, my plan carried me out about 15 years. I've met people that have done it as soon as 7 years. What I typically find is between 10 and 20 years is the range that once people decides to go on this wealth journey. And then that component is part of what I call a citywide financial transformation system, which is a bigger picture vision of what I have, which I would love to see everybody in Nashville, Tennessee, my hometown, have a millionaire plan just like I did when I was 25. And so I'm banding together with a bunch of people, other financial teachers here in town, trying to create a financial speakers network so we can shoulder that burden together. I don't think I can do that by myself. It's too big of a goal. But if I can get 20, 30, 40, 50 different financial teachers in the local market to work together, then I believe we can accomplish that goal. And some of these people have the same hearts that I do. They're just working individually. We're all doing our own things versus working together. And there's power in numbers, Jim. And that's what I'm trying to do. Outside of that, man, I'm doing some coaching, business coaching, and some what I call influencer coaching. I worked for a guy named Dave Ramsey for 15 years and helped his company through the digital transformation, really become a digital company. He had been doing his business for about 10 years before I got there. And I kind of ushered in the digital age through that business for 15 years and then left there in 2016.
How long have you actually been in this industry?
Yeah, so I made my millionaire choice at 25, joined Dave Ramsey's team at age 30. And then did 15 years with him. Went out to Salt Lake City for a short stint with another guy that had a similar mission to Dave. That was a short-lived due to some SEC involvement. So I was only out there. But that's where I got my vision for the millionaire choice was while I was in Salt Lake City in 2017. It's one thing to do it for somebody else. It's another thing to do it for yourself. So started writing on my book in 2017 and then released it 2018. So doing this on my own has been through since about 2017. So that'd be about 22 years.
Can you kind of give the history a bit of your career, how you sort of began to adopt this mantle of being kind of the millionaire advisor in a way?
I'll rewind the clock because everything we do in life, even down to our childhood, plays out in some way in who we become and who we are. I started learning about that when I started learning about vocation. So there's a wonderful guy named Dan Miller who was very instrumental in me leaving my previous career, which I was an engineer, mechanical engineer, manufacturing engineer. Once I started figuring out, and this was like mid 1990s, the power of the internet and being able to manipulate data and send data all over the country. That was a very powerful thing for me. So that made me decide to leave behind engineering and move into the digital age. And so I learned how to program, manipulate databases, build databases. I wouldn't say I was particularly good at it. I was, good enough to be able to switch careers and make something out of it. And I think my real gifting is more about just thinking out of the box and having a business mind. Problem solver, right? So engineers are problem solvers. So I have that skill. I like to find problems and solve them, make things better. So from there, that led me into Dave Ramsey's organization. Before that, I was already on the same alignment with Dave. I was an anti-debt guy at 25. Once I realized I was broke and that was not a good life to live, I started transforming my finances, I started learning about money and very quickly realized that it doesn't take a lot of effort to really shift. You have to make a mental shift, and then you have to make a behavioral shift after that. Mm-hmm. And so what I did, instead of spending all of my money every week and going into debt every year, which fortunately I was only about $16,000 in debt before I woke up, I made a shift back the other direction and said, you know what? I'm going to live on a third of what I make. I'm going to pay off a debt with a third of what I make, and I'm going to invest a third of what I make. And because of my situation, I was able to do that. It's a very simple model. I think anybody probably under the age of about 23, 24 could probably do that. Once you shift into getting married, having kids, you know, your models shift a little bit. Your financial model has to shift. I did not have a wife figured into my financial plan. That was not part of the formula for me. I didn't think that far ahead. So she brought in about $20,000 in debt when we got married, started paying off that. We had six kids. I didn't plan on having six kids. That was not part of my financial plan. I tried to talk my wife into using cloth diapers because I was, you know, money focused. I'm like, hey, we can save a lot of money if we use cloth diapers and not these disposables. And she wasn't having it. So fortunately, I had wiser counsel in my life. And they said, don't use the cloth diapers, Tony. Do the. He said, I did cloth diapers. My boss said, I did cloth diapers. Don't do the cloth diapers. Pay the money. Do the disposables. So we did, but I did the math on that. We spent about $9,000 in diapers across six kids. I mean, yeah, it adds up, man. It was about 1500 bucks a kid. Now that was 20 years ago for most of the kids. You know, some of them are about 10 years ago. And I don't know what diapers are costing these days with inflation, but I can't imagine. That was kind of the journey. And then at Dave's company, led some digital stuff, digital business development, and had a lot of fun there. And then really, I hate to say it this way, but I really didn't learn a lot more financially during those 15 years because there's a model that Dave teaches and I adopted that model. And then when I left Dave's, that's when I started expanding my own financial mind again. So I've got in my book, if you've read it, Millionaire Key Number 4 is Get Money Smart. And I believe you've got to, just like you learn math, English, and science in school from age, you know, if you go to school from K through 12, that's 12 years of school, 13 years of school, that is. Then you go off to college, you get four more, you get a master's degree, you get one or two, you get a doctorate, you get another one or two. And just like you study, you have to study those subjects, become masters of those subjects. You have to think that way about money. You have to think the same way because you have to become a student of money. If you want to learn how money works, you got to become a student of money. You got to learn how it works. And that means you can't just read one book. You know, a lot of people read Robert Kiyosaki's book, which is a great catalyst, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And that's a big one. Like when I have people on my show, they go, I was broke and I read Robert Kiyosaki's book and then I became rich. And they started working on that model. And there's other people who, you know, didn't do as good of a job with that book. But a lot of the people I talked to used Robert Kiyosaki's book as a catalyst to shift their mind. And then after they shifted their mind, they shifted their behavior and started building wealth. But that's kind of the long and short. You know, I'm not a CFP certified financial planner. I'm not any of those things. I don't have any of those accolades. I'm a planner. That's what I do. I did planning for manufacturing and engineering. I did a millionaire plan for myself. I've done millionaire plans for other people. And a wonderful thing happens when I see that psychologically with the people I help is when you put it in black and white and they see that plan, they go, oh, you know, I'm $30,000 in debt. You know, I got like 10 credit cards, the average debt of $3,000 on each one or more in some cases. And, you know, some of those credit cards got 24% interest. They don't see a way out. Most people don't have a vision. They don't have the capability of being a visionary. They can't create a new vision for themselves. So they're stuck in their lifestyle. And the way I talk about it is being on a hamster wheel. Like it's like you're on a hamster wheel. You work, spend, work, spend, work, spend, work, spend. And you're there. You know, some people might say a treadmill, but I like the hamster wheel because the little hamster is running really, really fast. Usually a lot faster than most of us run on the treadmill, right? And so they look frantic. That's the lifestyle that a lot of people are living today. And I was living that lifestyle. I had a little bit of, you know, I wasn't that tight yet. I didn't get myself in too much trouble. But that's the lifestyle that we live and grow in. And I've got some family members that are living that lifestyle today, you know, even though I'm on the journey to become even more wealthier than I am, my family members did not come along on that journey with me. And that's a sad thing. There's not a whole lot I can do about that one.
Yeah, you know, so I was doing a bit of research on you, and the income of the neighborhood you grew up in was a bit different from what you were making now, from what I understood.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely a different lifestyle. Some of the things I've even forgotten, I've remembered a few more of those in the recent days. You know, when I wrote my book, it wasn't uncommon for us to have our water cut off. You know, I think it was pretty much an annual occurrence, you know, and it's because parents ran out of money. They couldn't pay the bills. The water man would come out, shut the water off. I would go out. At first, my dad was doing it. When I got old enough, I would could do it, right? And they use this tool called a water key. You can pick them up at Home Depot or Lowe's. And it's just a piece of metal with another couple pieces of metal welded to it at the end and a little handle at the top. And I would pop open the water meter, drop the little water key in there, turn the meter on. We could take showers, you know, we could wash dishes. And that works pretty well until they decide that, hey, they turn the water back on. So the next time they come out, they put a padlock on it. And so they turn it off the first time, they padlock it. And then I believe there's, even at one point, I believe we had our meter taken out and had to pay a large reconnection fee at that point. And so that was a lot more expensive to get those kinds of things done. You know, that was pretty common. I didn't think much about it back then. But now being an adult, I'm like, you know, that's not a normal way of life. That's not normal. I didn't wear the nice clothes. You know, many of the pants I wore in school were, you know, several years older. You know, as a young guy, you grow a little fast. Sometimes you get growth spurts. I had one point, I had to laugh about it because I was walking in gym for a pep rally and a couple of good looking girls looked over at me, cute girls. And I thought they called out my name. And I'm like, oh, getting some attention here, right? I turned my head. They asked me if I was expecting it to rain today. I'm pretty slow on the uptake, Jim. And so I looked over kind of like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. And then I just kind of turned and kept going. And later I'm like, oh, they were making fun of my pants because my pants were about 2-3 inches off my ankles. Of course, they were, a lot of the kids I was going to school with, we were in private school. My parents sacrificed. They believed in giving us the best education they can afford, faith-based education. And so they sacrificed a lot for that. And even though we were struggled financially, there were some trouble putting food on the table. Like, I don't remember ever going hungry at all. It was just things like that. And, you know, in our inside of our house, we weren't the best housekeepers, very disorganized. And not to trash on my parents at all, because we all have our problems and things. And when you look at where my parents grew up from, both of them came from broken homes. So they did not have good models, you know. And I'm a big believer, it's a foundation. Like, you can either build a foundation where your children after you can step on that foundation. And my parents gave me a much better foundation in life than they had. You know, my dad was out of school in 9th or 10th grade with his last year of education. He has trouble reading. He's very apprehensive about reading. And he did not have a father figure in his life and was supporting himself pretty much at age 9-10 years old, trying to survive. And that was his lifestyle, you know. Not a lot of family support structure there. My mom was a little bit better, but she had a very dysfunctional family as well. So there wasn't a lot of, other than her mom, she didn't get support from siblings. It was a very dysfunctional single family household. Even today, it's weird thing, but, you know, weird families are all over the place, right, Jimbo?
Exactly. So kind of getting back to your knowledge, what are sort of your thoughts on things like personal finance?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing that you got to do, that people need to do when they start, okay, I'm talking about starting, to break free off that hamster wheel I mentioned, because, you know, over 70% of people were living paycheck to paycheck before this incredible inflation that just hit. So it would not surprise me if you're looking at 80, 85% of people right now living paycheck to paycheck just because of the inflation and the gas prices and the food prices and everything else that's going on. Would not surprise me in the slightest. The first thing you got to do is you've got to develop a vision, right? So most people don't have a financial vision. So they just keep repeating the same things their parents did and their grandparents did before them and their great grandparents did before them. So there's this cycle that kind of gets repeated in your family until you break it. I think I saw a quote, I can't remember who wrote it, but it says, if you don't have any millionaires in your family, be the first millionaire. And that's what I am. I am a first generation millionaire. I'm not a silver spoon, right? So I didn't inherit anything. In fact, most people who inherit money end up losing it. The family loses that wealth. So it's once you get wealth, like I've gotten, now I've got to figure out how to get my kids to then also come along with their mindset and shift with me so they don't just lose it, right? So that's the cycle. And I don't have that figured out yet. I'm working on it. The first thing you got to do is shift that vision and develop a vision. So if you're familiar with Dave Ramsey is the best in the world at getting people in the game of finance. There is no second closest person to Dave other than Robert Kiyosaki. I mean, I hear a lot of people, Robert's book is very international. I think Dave's probably a little bit stronger in the U.S. For personal finance than Robert. I think Robert's is strong in the U.S., but also stronger in international world as well. But Dave is giving people a vision because most people who are broke can't imagine a different way to live. So what they do is they go, I'm broke. This hurts. What can I do differently? And they find Dave Ramsey because Dave Ramsey is pretty much the most accessible guy. And he's got the best platform. So what they do is they go, oh, Dave Ramsey says I can be debt free. And so that's the vision. You can be debt free. He's giving you a vision that's attainable for your mindset and where you're at. If you're broke and struggling and you can't pay your bills, you can't imagine being a millionaire. That's difficult to imagine being a millionaire. That's a big vision. Like how can you go from being broke and not paying your bills and borrowing money to being a millionaire? That's a big jump, but they can jump, make a smaller step. And that's a baby step. That's why Dave calls them the baby steps. And they jump into, this vision of being debt free. And along the way, they learn something. For me, what I'm trying to do is to get people a vision of becoming a millionaire. If they latch onto a millionaire mindset, they will eventually be a multimillionaire. But I can't tell them that because it's the vision's too big. You can't go from, it's very difficult to go from being broke to imagining you can be debt free. It's even harder to believe you can be a millionaire. It's even harder to believe you can be a multimillionaire. So the millionaire threshold for me is the lowest boundary to wealth. And I realize that interesting things happens to people, Jimbo, on this journey. And it's the same thing that happened to me. Once I believed I could be a millionaire, my mind started working on that problem. It figured out how to do it. And then it got smarter over time and smarter over time. And it produced it. And I was able to hit my goal. Now, once I got closer to that millionaire status, and once I broke through that millionaire status, then you ask the question, what's next? So, and it's a little bit different to go from being a millionaire to being a multimillionaire because your mind has shifted and you're moving in a different direction. You're moving at a higher rate. So like for me, probably have been stuck in a millionaire mindset, not a multimillionaire mindset for a while, even though I've been a millionaire now for a decade. I've made more wealth and I am, my net worth is higher than $1 million. I wouldn't say that I've shifted to the next level of thinking until more recently where I'm going, okay, what's it look like to get to 10 million? What's it look like to get to 100 million? And you're talking about doing that in one generation to go from, hey, here's a broke person at 25 to somebody who's mentally capable of developing a $100 million net worth. And the reason I say that is because I've got some friends now that I've associated with that went from broke lifestyle families similar to mine that are now net worth at 25 to $50 million, and they're only like 33 years old. So think about that. So it took me till 40. These other guys I'm meeting are doing it by 30, 35 years old, and they're developing much more wealth. And they used a different formula, right? And that's perfectly fine. Everybody's got their own journey. We're just here to inspire people to do it. So that's the biggest thing on the front is you got to shift your vision and your belief, like what you can believe. Then after you do that, you have to acquire knowledge. Right? Inside of that character too. So the first millionaire key I have is not about money. It's about character. You have to develop strong character. To build and keep wealth, you have to develop strong character. And the reason for that is there's plenty of rich people who lost it all. They made bad habits. And there's a lot other bad habits than just character. But the fastest way you can lose half your wealth, the answer is divorce. You can screw your marriage up. But that's develop strong character. The second one doesn't have anything to do with money either. It's called maximize your time. Your most precious asset is your time. So those are two of the first keys, and those are found what I call foundational. And then you get into getting money smart. So we went from vision to character, time, and then you get educated, right? We talked about that earlier. You can then put your plan together. Now I've got mostly real estate, probably maybe 80, 90% of my assets are in real estate now.
How do you sort of encourage people to kind of make their millionaire choice and also kind of create their millionaire plan? Can you kind of explain how all that works?
Yeah. So if somebody listens to my show, it's a very simple show. It's called, the Millionaire Choice Show, where we talk to millionaires and future millionaires about how to build wealth, what to do with it once you have it, because wealth has a purpose. And so I try to help people develop a purpose behind their wealth. I didn't have a purpose behind my wealth. Well, I did actually when I was developing it, basically to live life however I wanted to. My initial plan was to be a millionaire at 40 and then live off my investments and spend off about 10% interest a year. For me to get started on the journey, that was enough. What I try to do with my interviews is I try to share other people's stories. And I love the stories that are so ridiculous. One of the lies people tell themselves is rich people are bad, so I don't want to be rich because I don't want to be a bad person. The reality is, if you're a good person, you're going to be good with money. If you're a bad person, you're going to be bad. You have to make sure, check your heart and, keep on track. The love of money is the root of all evils. You can love the wrong things, but I love what money allows me to do. I don't love money itself. So, and money allows me to enjoy life more, to help more people in need. When you have money, you can do those things. So that's what I try to inspire people with. Money's not, it's just a tool like any other tool. If you've ever hammered anything, hammered a nail, it's the same thing. That's what money is. You just got to use the tool properly. Learn how to hammer better, so you want to learn how to build wealth and manage your money better. The millionaire plan, Jimbo, it's basically got a couple components to it. You got to have a debt component, right? So most people have debt. So you got to go, okay, what's my debt plan? Am I going to use debt? Am I not going to use debt? Am I going to get out of debt? You have to have an income plan, right? So don't get stuck making the same money for the rest of your life, unless you're making really good money. But like for me, I was making 39 grand my first year out of college, and I was making more than my mom. I think my mom was making 40 or 35,000. So I was making 39, she made 35. I'm like, man, boom, man, I've arrived. You know, my mom's been at this game for 20 plus years. I just got into the game as an adult. I made $5,000, $4,000 more than my mom. I'm on top of the world, right? That's what I thought mentally. What I didn't realize because of the upbringing that I had and the family I came from is that I could make $100,000 a year as a person. You can increase your income. You just have to think about how to do it. It's another one of those things where you put your mind onto a problem. And go, okay, what skills do I have? What skills do I develop? And they're called marketable skills, right? So what marketable skills do I have? But you got your income plan, your debt plan. Then you need your, how do you multiply your money? Your investing plan. So how am I going to invest my money to actually multiply it? Because that's the principle that most people aren't doing, right? Their budgets are going out into living expenses and into toys or, you know, vacations, but all their money's flowing away from them. You've got to create a mechanism that allows money to flow back to you.
Right now, we kind of live in a very crazy economic climate. What do you see happening?
If you know what you're doing in the financial sector and you learn and you got money smart, you can make money whether the season's good or bad. You can make money. It might be a little bit harder, but you can still make money. I think the biggest thing right now that people need to pay attention to, that there's a high prediction of food shortages. So food prices are up. I think some people say 30, 40% right now. I would start stocking up on food. If you want to learn more about that, your listeners want to learn more about that, there's some videos out there from Jordan Peterson. I just saw one from him talking about it. There's a lot of people out there talking about this stuff. The way I explain that is usually there are problems with food distribution in areas. Like, so you might have, if you have food distribution problems or growth problems in America, then, you know, over in Ukraine or Europe or Africa, there's not a problem. So you can kind of move food around the world, right? It's interchangeable. Maybe you pay a little bit more for it, but food moves around the world. It's a system, right? It's a global system of food distribution, right? What's happening right now is there's food issues in all of those areas. And so I would encourage you to learn a little bit more about it. I believe it's very much an engineered occurrence. I don't believe it's a natural occurrence.
All right. Well, you know, this has been an excellent interview. You've definitely given a lot of information. And, you know, I hope you like this interview just as much as I did. So, yeah, if there's any final words you'd like to kind of deliver to the audience.
Take time to get money smart, guys. Invest in yourself. That's the best way to say it. Your time of learning is investing in yourself. The more you invest in yourself, the better off your life's going to be. Whether you're investing in your marriage, you know, I've got 6 kids. I have to learn how to parent my kids better, right? So I have to learn and study how to parent kids in a better way. Any of those things that you want in life to make your life more fulfilled, invest in yourself and, you know, maximize your time. You know, one thing I don't do, Jim, we didn't talk about this. The average American spends 120 hours a month watching television or videos. Those kinds of things are not investing in yourself. That's entertainment. It goes nowhere. And just like your money can appreciate and bring value back to you, like through investments, your time is the same thing. So the more of your time that you put out there into things that return investment and dividends back to you, the better your life's going to be, whether that's investing in your marriage so that it comes back, investing in your kids so it comes back, investing in your health. You know, I neglected my health for a while. I paid a price. Now I'm investing in my health again. I'm getting healthier. You know, that comes down to eating and exercise and things like that. But you got to, you know, rewire your mind to do that and develop a vision for your future. If you can't develop one and you need help, feel free to jump on a call with me. I give a 1-hour free call away every day to anybody that wants to book time with me. You can find me at the Millionaire Choice, millionairechoice.com, and get on my calendar. I'll be glad to talk to anybody that wants to.
Okay, great. All right. Well, thanks again, Tony. So we're just going to do a quick little shout out here. So the first thing we're going to talk about now is going to be Judy Ryan. She is the CEO of LifeWork Systems. She's our affiliate and collaborative partner. And basically what she does is she helps to improve the HR infrastructure in your business and create a more collegial environment. And then sort of the next thing we like to get into sort of is our YouTube channel. Subscribe now. We're growing in subscribers now, so keep subscribing to us. Next thing is our Roku channel. We're available on Roku TV, so check us out there as well, too. All right. I'm Jimbo Paris. This is the Jimbo Paris Show. Thank you for listening to the Jimbo Parish Show.